Well, as I said a little bit about it this morning, I got surprised about what the Lord really wanted me to have. I had done some preparations, that is, thoughts on the other subjects that were more in line with the things we've been talking about. However, it's a very significant issue. I don't know about my capability within myself. I just have to trust in the Lord to be able to make sense of my thoughts about the issue that we're going to deal with. You know, there's a big problem among men. There was a program that I watched where there was a kind of a discussion among some scientists and a Christian man who was the moderator, and they were declaring that they were no longer atheists. They were some scientists. They were no longer atheists because of the modern knowledge of increase, of how complicated the processes are of life. They couldn't have happened by chance. But one of those guys stood up and said, well, I still don't accept the God of the Bible. He said, I have to be a deist. But he said, a person that thinks there's a God, all right. But he says, I don't like this God. Like, he's not doing it my way. That's interesting because you say, well, that's foolish. But I think our lives are full of that. I'm just not pleased with the decision God made in this, in my life, or in the lives of these people, or in his presentation of himself in the scriptures. Because there's a God of love, you say? And he'd do that? He'd tolerate that? He'd make a decision not to keep me healthy and keep me wealthy and wise? Don't like that. And if they lose something that's valuable to them, and I can sympathize with them, they conclude that God could have kept that from happening. That makes sense to me, they would say. It just doesn't make sense. It seems in contradiction that he is a God of love and he loves us, would let this happen or generate that happening or wouldn't allow this to happen. Well, the answer to that question is you're just going to have some faith in God. That's the answer. That's the answer of Job. The devil came, gave a conflict. He demeaned God. Let's read Job chapter 1, verse 1 through 12, if you put it on the board for me. Now, the reason that got me into this thinking was my own meditations and prayer and weeping concerning George Kovach, for instance. Why? All that suffering when he could just reach down and touch him and eliminate it. And he is such a man of conviction and determination to do God's will and to do the things right for him. Doesn't make sense. I can't. I've said many times in my own thoughts, I can't understand. But the problem really is, I do not have the faculty of all the things that are involved in God's plan and formula to accomplish the ultimate, optimum goodness and well-being to the humanity. In consideration of all the factors of man having the right to make a decision against God. Why didn't he just create man so that he wouldn't have that right? He would fix his will in the will of God. Well, I understand why he can't do that. He wants man in a relationship that is not forced, but is by his own will. And he has that right because he's been created in the image of God. It gives him certain rights and privileges, even to say no to God. That makes it very hard. God generated a system for man that was paradise. He doesn't want anything but the best. But in giving him his own will to make decisions, whether he would follow the will of God, which would be to the very best. Why would it be the best? Because he loves us. Why would it be the best? Because he's infinite in his knowledge. He knows how. He's infinite in his power. He can instrument it. He can bring it to pass. And there's no boundary beyond which it would not apply. He's omnipotent. Present. Therefore, by showing his desires and his wishes for the best of man, he's not going to get that by any simple steps. Now, it's going to prolong that desire of his for the paradise for man. Thousands of years! Plus much suffering of mankind and the suffering of God. And why did he determine to make us? Because he has the faculties to go through the formulas of it to get an optimized ending. You understand? And we don't.
That's right.
And so the answer is have faith in God. That's the solution. That's the answer as to how to deal with it. Job. Here we go. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. God blessed him. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. He had everything. And he had God. And this was God's blessings to him. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so that when the days of their feasting was gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning, set them aside for God's use and offered a burnt offering according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And this did Job concern continually. He was always working with his children to come along in the faith. Now, there was a day when the sons of God, and I believe this simply to be angelic people, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. He's an angel. Who was he? He was the fella, according to references in Isaiah and Ezekiel, that was the highest authority under God, the most remarkable. Person in presence, manifestation, prideful. He's the fella that, no doubt, that when he discovered that man was going to be created and have a higher order than himself, and he would be below in authority and position and status than him, he rebelled against that. His influence was great. He carried a whole third of all the angels with him. That's who we're going to be talking about here in these first 12 verses. And that's who he was. He didn't love man. He didn't want the best for man. He wanted to destroy man. And he wanted to prevent any redemption, because in all these thousands of years that it was going to take in the processes of redemption and to reach all of the populations of man that he had in his mind and his worked up in his formula that he would have in this paradise. Yes, it was going to cause lots of trouble and a great effort to prevent man from being able to have that position above himself. He always wanted to, he wants to destroy the Jews for that very, very reason. To discredit God, that he's able to fulfill all of his promises. If there's no Jews, he can't. He fails. And Satan, in his warped darkness, feels that that's a strategy that would work to sustain his position. You ever thought about that? And so he comes to God. He sees Job, a good man, and he challenges God. Here's what he said: "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou?" It was just like a little greetings. "Thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking in and down upon it." See, didn't he gain in the failure of Adam? Didn't he gain the dominance and the leadership and the authority over the earth? Yes. God of this world, the scripture defines him. Didn't he unseat Adam with his? And now man is in subjection to Satan in their normal, natural being. Is that correct? Yes. What is he doing then? Going up and here and there and up and down on the earth? He's viewing his domain. And devising devices to sustain his position. And so, and to destroy man. And to defame God. And so he says, and the Lord said unto Satan, well, hast thou considered, and Satan, God knows what's going on. And so he makes this reply. He says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Whoa, now here. Why would he bring up Job? He was going to be a tool of God, God's to fulfill his purposes. And to fulfill those purposes, he had to suffer. Did Job ever know that? Did Job ever know that that he was experiencing all the horrible things that he had to experience? No, God never told him why. But he told us why. Because we need to know things. Why did God not tell Job? It's because Job wouldn't have understood it anyway. It's too deep. Of all the reasons that he had for doing what he was doing, he just had to have confidence that God knew what he was doing. And that's what you and I must develop in our own outlook as Christians. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered him? That there is none like him in the earth, perfect man and an upright man, and the heaven and that feareth God and escheweth or hated evil. So he pointed out he's going to use Job, see? And what did Satan do about that? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, well, does Job fear God for naught? Without a reason? And then he said, hast not thou made an hedge about him, about his house, about all that he hath on every side? Hast thou blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land? But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. You're not worthy of his worship. This devoted man's motives were faulty. And furthermore, God's motives are faulty. Blasphemy. Why? So why is he giving Job so much? To bribe him for his devotion. A bribe. An unrighteous objective. You're not really worth it. You're not really worth it. Because of his worthlessness. You don't have that. He is defying the position of God. He's defying and he's degrading God. He's degrading the man in his motives, those both which he hated. And God was bringing that out of him. Now, you and I, God put this out there for us, for all the people, for all time. He put it in the eternal Word of God. It's there. He has been set forth for his qualifications and his marvelous estate in his true worship of God. If that was true, if what Satan said is true, take it all away from him. He'll curse you. And that puts a challenge even and a belittlement even to all of us. The only reason we are, the only reason anyone is serving God is to have the idea that we're going to get goodies from him. Material goodies. Health. Vitality. You see? That's our... God's going to bless us. He's going to do good to us. And the only reason we're worshiping him is that he's bribing us. And the bribed money that we're getting. And the benefits. So there's excessive blasphemy to God and a demeaning of every Christian in potential. Could you find a man that is not the case? You will have then overridden the universality of Satan's challenge. And it would take a special man to demonstrate that. God chose him to be the universal, eternal pattern of the man who that's not true to.
That's right.
You understand? That's why I was thinking of George Kovach. Why in the world would he put him, a man who loved God supremely, no doubt, and in all of his sufferings, he has not cursed God.
That's right. That's right.
Another special man that God's picked out for such a duty. And then what? To make a long story short, Job passed the test. His friends came. He passed the test of their observation. They were wrong. They accused him of being under the wrath of God because he had done some things wrong. How did he deal with that? He didn't curse God. He passed the test of being so tormented physically in his health that he would prefer to die than to live. But he did not curse God. And all along, he would question, I don't know why God's doing this to me. It's not that, what you guys talk about. It's not this. It's not that. And you know, he didn't know the reason. And God never told him the reason. God's answer to all of it was, you just don't have the capability to understand how this fits into the universal pattern and work of God for the redemption of man. You understand that, see? Powerful, isn't it? We could understand what would happen if Satan were to take charge and Adam would destroy paradise for man and lift and exalt Satan in his determination to belittle God. Oh, God. He's just telling you this because you would become as God. You would be people that will be like God. Have godly characters and characteristics. By his devices, he put Adam against God. Adam violated God. But God had already demonstrated what his real objective was in his total plans, a paradise for you and I, eternally, that can never be destroyed. That required the work of redemption. The suffering of God. But not only the suffering of God, the suffering of man. Why? Because Satan, in his best efforts, and based upon all of his assets of intelligence and power, he was not qualified to be the boss. And he would be the boss on the basis of what? Having worship from people on the basis of force, not dealing with our free will, or deception. If you follow me, your benefits will be greater. Now, I would like for you to go over to, because part of God's plan in order to bring the new paradise is, Well, let me start a little differently. We have the point where we're looking at Satan's purposes to be done to gain our allegiance and worship. He's going to use the device of exactly what he was accusing God of doing. Bribing us. Because, you see, I wondered many times, well, why would Satan take an effort, and what kind of an effort would he, in order to receive the worship of the people? Well, of course, some of it is force, but the other portion is what? Bribing us. Right? So he's going to try to do well for us in the ways of man's desires of lust. Now let's take a look at something here. There's a passage in Revelations in chapter 6 that talks about the horsemen. Can you find that for me, lad? And I saw and behold a white horse, and him that sat on him. Now this is in the setting in which there was a little book, or what in those days it was a scroll, and it couldn't be opened. And that little book was the showing the plan of basically redemption and God's overthrow of Satan and his system. See, the world system belongs to Satan. Do you know where the reference that proves that is found in the Bible? It's in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1 through 3. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, and etc., right? And then it talks about Satan being the god of this world. So this system here is going to have to be destroyed for the for that to come to pass. This present world system has to be destroyed. That's the great what? Tribulation. That's God going whack, 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 tearing it down. And he's explaining the reason he's going to tear it down in this chapter with this little book is a plan to tear down and the format of it. And nobody could open it up until the Lamb came, the book of life. Not the book of life, but the plan. Now, nobody could open it. And that meant we don't see a way of redemption. We don't see a way of redemption. And then he wept much. John did when he was writing in the book. Well, he rejoiced when they discovered the Lamb can do it. Only the work and the cause and the things of redemption could change things. And to change things, they had to first tear down that system. That's the system we got right now. Huh? It's Satan's system. God's going to brutally tear it down. And God is going to be kind to us and let us know what kind of influences are out there that gives him the determination to do that. And one of those is people's hurts. Another is that's very strong on the influence of God to do something about it and take care of it is the martyrs. We're saying, how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? And he's giving us those drives that gives him the determination to tear it down and the justification to tear it down. Now look and see what these, when they begin to open the book, that means we can go through the process, and this is the reason we're going to do it. Now look here. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. This is the Antichrist, one who presents himself as the Christ. Then what? And I saw, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. All right? We saw that. And it says, and there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that there should that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. How would you like to be a part of a culture like that? You are part of a culture like that. Isn't that right? Death, hurt. While pretending to be good. You know, I've thought about communism. They claim it's the best for the well-being of people. But it's the most destructive in their attempts to do so. And then look at the next thing. And there went out another. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see, and behold, and lo, look, a black horse. And he that sat on him and had a pair of balances in his hand." Next. "And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see that thou hurt not oil and the wine.'" What is that? Famine, lack of food, lack of things that are necessary to life. That means death, unhappiness, sorrow. Next. "And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, 'Come and see.'" Look at this. "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beasts of the field." Huge numbers of people that are affected. Extremely negatively, terribly. These guys, go ahead. "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held." Death. Warfare. That's enough for me of that, because it gives you the idea that he's not a very good manager. He doesn't have the ability, even though he'd like to, as a bribery effort. So he's going to, you'll find out in the Great Tribulation, resort to force. Death. Hurt. Unhappiness. That, brethren, is not paradise. The leaders of the dominant movement throughout the world is, we've got a better idea. But they don't. And they're guided by Satan. And he doesn't. This system needs to be torn down. God is going to tear it down. So God, what was the answer God gave Job that he might have? Why is all this happening? God didn't tell him. But he did imply with an answer, have faith in God. Now that's to Christians. See? And that's all the time we got for today on this topic. Just the attitude Christians have to have. Why? and what the issues are that we're dealing with in the exercise of our faith, what it's all about. It's a warfare for dominance. The dominance of God or the dominance of the Antichrist in the affairs of men. Satan is going to have to be overthrown. And the Bible says he's going to be overthrown. He's given us that certainty. And he's given us a promise of eternal life. An eternal paradise. Brethren, it's going to happen. That's what stays us in, with the right answer to every question of doubt about God's motivations and goodness even. He's doing it for the best benefit of you and I, but it's a complex process. And it's going to cause the world to look, and Satan's going to stimulate that issue of, but I would do it differently. I see this as a contradiction ad infinitum. Now, if the Lord permits, I'll work further to talk about our response to the lost and the doubters that could help them out, to make sense of these things that look so contradictive and not appealing and do not appeal to the flesh. Well, let's stand. We're going to have a song. Why don't we have the song "Have Faith in God," Brother Robert? No. Go ahead and do the one that I specified. We'll wrap this. One wrapper will be "Have Faith in God" as we began. That's basically the emphasis. But this one is an assurance that having faith in God means that we have, no matter what we have to deal with in our lives, negatively, we have help. We don't do it by ourselves. Whether Job understood it or not, he's not dead today, having committed suicide, because God was not allowing the limits of hurt to overcome him.